Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio, and welcome to our listeners at North State Public Radio. Glad to have you in the broadcast family. Your clock is correct. It is 10:40 right now because of the extended press conference by President Trump and his coronavirus response team. We are an hour later than usual. There are a handful of California schools still open, but most of them are closed at this point for the next 3 weeks. Gosh, I wonder how your first day of managing this was yesterday and now into today. Natomas Unified School District has been offering to-go meals for students ages 2 to 18. And yesterday, you might have heard the Director of Communications, Deirdre Powell, encourage anyone anywhere in the region whose child needed food to come by with the child, and you'd be handed a to-go meal. So we wondered how day one went and whether the program is shifting or being listened to. Deirdre Powell is back on the phone with us. Hello there. Welcome back to Insight.
Thank you for having me back.
So tell me how this plan went yesterday.
Sure. Well, I was actually out at one of our sites, and I tell you, there were a lot of people. We announced that we would begin serving at 11:30 a.m., and when I arrived at 11:15, there were already families ready to get those meals. So it was busy. We were busy the entire hour. We added our numbers. This is kind of a rough estimate, but we provided about 729 lunches yesterday and 528 breakfast meals. These were all packaged and ready to go because we definitely don't want people congregating, and so it's a pick up and go type of situation. So yeah, people are listening, they're responding, and we served quite a few meals yesterday.
You had some good contributors, and your plan was to do this today through the end of the week and continue doing it. Is that plan still in place? What's your expectation, Deirdre?
Sure. What we have seen, we actually started on Friday because Natomas Unified, we decided to close school Friday and Monday. We made that decision on Thursday, and that was before Friday with the press conferences and the other districts saying, you know what, this is going to be longer than we expected. So we had already announced that to our families. And so what we have seen Friday, I think we had maybe like 50. And you see the difference that happened yesterday. And we anticipate adjusting those numbers as we may even see an increase. So we're prepared to do that. And we're watching our numbers because we definitely want to be able to serve everyone who shows up. We don't want to run out, but we want people to know that, you know, to get there during that hour so that we can do as best as we can. And if we do run out at one location, we have other locations that may not be as busy.
Well, let's say some of those location details right now. And so the meals will be distributed again today from 11:30 to 12:30, correct?
That is correct. And we have 15 sites in the Natomas community where people can pick up meals. Most of them, they're at our schools. We have a few schools that have combined because they're in so close proximity, but they can get the complete list on our website at www.natomasunified.org. We'll do this Monday through Friday, 11:30 to 12:30 p.m., and we will do this all the way through April the 3rd, as we know it as of now. As you know, things change hourly. But that is our plan. During the time that we said we would be closed for schools, we will be providing that to any family that has children 18 and under. Bring the children, and we will make sure that they get meals.
All right, Deirdre, thank you so much. I'm so happy to hear that families were able to take advantage of this generous and continuing plan. Thank you, Deirdre. We'll check in with you again.
Okay, thank you very much.
I was going to add, this is not to say that other school districts might not have their own plan in place, so please check the website for your school, for your district, to find out what's happening with meals, as there is an understanding that such a large percentage of students in California across the state depended on schools for free or reduced meals. Let's add this detail that the Sacramento City Unified School District is mourning the loss of a teacher, an individual who worked as a temporary volunteer and substitute teacher, passed away from complications of COVID-19. We do understand this person was in one of the older high-risk populations and had some health complications, but this has been a difficult and devastating loss to the community. You can find more about this story, again, on our website, capradio.org. Now let's take a little bit of a turn today to the fact that we are in St. Patrick's Day. This is such an important time for bars and restaurants and nightclubs in the area. But the governor advised that restaurants go to half capacity and that bars, nightclubs, and pubs be closed. He has made this direction. Groups that serve food seem to have an exception. On the phone is Jot Condi right now, president and CEO of the California Restaurant Association. And I thank you for joining us, Jot. I imagine you're getting real good at explaining the distinction here, correct?
I am. And that distinction seems to change daily, hourly.
Right. So here we are on a very important day for anyone in the food industry. What's the current recommendation, and what are you advising as the Restaurant Association?
Well, I mean, bars, the initial order from the governor was to close down bars and nightclubs. And so, of course, on St. Patrick's Day, those are the institutions that seem to be full. There's 41,000 bartenders who aren't serving drinks today, for sure. But then when he adjusted his directive, initially he had suggested that restaurants reduce their dining capacity by 50%. But last night he changed that, kind of followed suit LA County and some other regions in California that essentially said restaurants need to shut down their dining operations. So, if you can find a restaurant that delivers, has curbside pickup or a drive-through, frequent them often as you can.
What's this going to mean in the long haul as an association? How do you keep one foot in dealing with the individuals and the other in the broad planning of these highly unusual circumstances?
Yeah, so there's a lot of planning going on right now just to figure out what does this industry look like when we get through this, and we will get through it, but we don't know when. And what you have now are restaurants that are just shutting down, and they're trying to make a decision: can we shut down temporarily, and do we have enough cash flow to pay rent and open back up, or go into hibernation, I guess, or do we just shut down for good? The full service, there's about 100,000 restaurant locations in California, and about 36 to 40,000 of them are full service restaurants, meaning they have dining rooms and service staff, waiters and waitresses. They are essentially closed down. So there's 265,000 servers who are, in the next few days going to be told that there's no work. And what do we, how do we handle that is a heavy burden. And obviously there's going to need to be some state action to figure out how to address those workers who are out of work. The hope is that, the restaurants can sort of ramp back up when we get through this, but that will depend on a lot of things, whether, they can negotiate deals with their landlords, because the industry is notoriously thin in terms of profits, 3 to 5%. There's tight cash flows, and they usually operate with considerable debt. So paying a lease and all the bills and not having any customers is a pretty scary prospect for all of them. So I suspect that once we get through this, there is going to be a substantial thinning of the restaurant population in California. And I think that means it's a tragedy for the owners who have sort of put their life savings into these businesses. It's a tragedy for the workers, but it's also, I think a lot of people don't realize that restaurants are the number one generator of sales tax in the state of California. And that's important for, you know, state infrastructure, local infrastructure, schools. And so we're going to need to turn that switch back on, you know, pretty quickly once we get through this. And the hope is that there will be some state action to allow for the restaurant industry to go into hibernation.
So to your point, I very informally called 13 places across the region yesterday, from Woodland to Roseville. And one of the owners I talked to was the Boxing Donkey in Sacramento, which would be a hugely popular Irish pub and restaurant today. And he said, well, we're closed right now until April 1st, but if it's after that, we're going to be out of business. And others had ramped up thinking they could partially be open today, so you know that their kitchens are full of, and probably even prepared meals, the corned beef and cabbage for today. So I know that you'll be looking for the state for some emergency help, and on the federal level too. Any advice to people right now who might themselves be looking for food? Are we going to end up with just fast food options in grocery stores?
No, I don't think so. But I think, you know, the grocery stores, you know, restaurants and grocery stores in California essentially split up the food dollar. About 50% of the food dollar in California has historically been spent in restaurants, and the other half in grocery stores. And we're already seeing, you know, as restaurants, full service restaurants close down, that's putting some strain on the grocery store infrastructure. I'm not sure, based on what I'm reading in the newspapers, that, you know, they're going to be able to withstand, you know, 70% of the food needs for Californians. You have, you know, the traditional quick service restaurants, otherwise known as fast food restaurants, that do about, you know, 60 to 70% of their, you know, meals through drive-thru, and, you know, probably about 10% in takeout. So they're, you know, they're still available. But then you also have, you know, I guess what you call limited service, you know, casual restaurants, like let's say like a Chipotle, where you can get your food to go curbside. Those are still options, and hopefully those restaurants will still stay open. And then you have, you know, restaurants that are full service that are closing down their dining rooms and retooling their menus and operations to keep the kitchens going, and to institute sort of curbside, you know, contact-free delivery or curbside delivery or pickup, I should say.
Right.
So, you know, I suspect there will be some full-service restaurants that can figure out, you know, how to stay open for a while. But again, you know, I'm not sure that that will be sustainable over a long period of time, because, you know, most full-service restaurants aren't like, you know, the quick-service restaurants where you can do high volume and delivery. They're not set up that way. So, you know, if they can do 30-40% pickup or delivery, maybe they'll be able to survive through this.
All right, John. Well, thank you for joining us. I know Fox and Goose in Sacramento is one that was planning with a much smaller number of tables and staff to still have the corned beef and cabbage and maybe a folk singer out there today. But I think everybody's deciding this based on their own needs and safety and how to comply. So we're going to continue this conversation with you at another time. I so appreciate your time today, and good luck to everybody who's trying to just survive this right now.
Thank you.
That is Jot Condi, President and CEO of the California Restaurant Association. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with a few more minutes of insight at an unusual time today because of the president's press conference this morning. But we'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. Mm-hmm.